We are in Micah. Hallelujah. If you remember, let's just do a little review. Maybe we'll catch Pastor Bill up here with a little review. The word of the Lord to Micah of Marsheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, which puts us right in a timeline. We know where we're at. This is where Isaiah was. This is where Amos was. And Pastor Bill was just mentioning that. It says, "Hear, O peoples. Hear, O peoples, all of you." The first chapter deals with all the peoples. The second chapter is going to deal with the business people, the influential people, the rich people, the ones who have the power in their hand to change what happens and how they handle people, how they deal with people, with the inheritance, with the houses, with the lands, with the things. The third chapter is going to deal with the rulers, the prophets, the ones that were leading the people. And I would say spiritually, he's talking to the people who are leading people spiritually, and he's leading them astray. So let's get started on it. All the peoples, the Lord has a case against them. He's a witnessing against them. The Lord is the judge. We see this in all the prophets. And that can kind of be intimidating to think about that way, that God's judge, I better not do anything wrong. God judges justly in compassion, you know, in love. And that's what he wants to bring, bringing judgment against the wickedness of the people. He's going to say, let's jump down to verse 5. All of this is for the rebellion of Jacob. God will judge rebellion. He does not bless rebellion. He judges rebellion. And if we rebel against him, and if son and daughter rebel against their parents, their parents are going to step up. Mom and dad is going to step up. It's just the right thing to do, because you don't want your children going astray. You don't want your children getting themselves into trouble and thus more judgment. Judgment will come to them beyond mom and dad. It could come from the teachers. It could, you know, in the early ages as things grow up. There's authorities that are going to be influential in our lives as we grow up. First, it's mom and dad, and then it spreads out into others, and they have to learn to respect authorities. Children have to do that. And then pretty soon, it gets to the place where you actually encounter a policeman because you're doing something wrong. There's another authority that might come into hand. Civil authorities might come to hand. You might have to appear before a judge, you know. There's another authority. See, they pass judgment on things that we do wrong. And so it's okay to see the perspective of how judgment works. It's so that you don't kill yourself. It's in your rebellion. And for the sins of the house of Israel, what is the rebellion of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? What is the high place of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? I had mentioned that Pastor Bill talked about, you know, the fish rots from the head down. It seems like the political leadership, the political establishment, which was to the northern kingdom, which had not been captured and captive yet, he's still giving warnings because there's no boundaries with the word of God. The word of God goes forth. It goes into all the areas in which it's spoken, and it will accomplish all that God has it to accomplish. He will inspire you, words of God, to speak blessings as well as, you know, correction. And Lord, help this situation, you know, in the Ukraine. We speak to it. We speak to the Russian army that's along the border. We speak to it, you know, to back off. Back off. You're not to be here. You know, deliver the church. And we speak words here in America. We speak words of prayer and supplications and intercessions. We have to understand that, have faith in the words that we speak are inspired by the word of God. This is what he's doing. These high places, they influence all the people. You know, beware of that. Because just because New York City says it's okay to murder people, that doesn't mean it's right. Babies. We're talking about babies in this particular case because I brought that up. I'm not throwing a stone or banging a stick against New York and things. Y'all put them into office. But they're making decisions for your life and how things move and change in that state. That's the interesting thing about America. There's a lot of high places, you know, capitals. Harrisburg, what goes on in Harrisburg, that might filter down to us. But we don't want that because that's not the law of the Lord. That's not the ways of God. We want the ways of God to govern our life. That's the wonderful thing about this country. It could be that way. We have a voice, but we have to use it. We have a vote, but we have to use it. You see, so Samaria, Jerusalem, this is where this evil and wickedness is coming down from. It says in verse 9, her wound is incurable. Sometimes it gets that far. Let me keep moving because this is just a little review. Don't want to re-preach the same things. Woe to you who scheme, chapter 2, iniquity, who work out evil in your beds. These are the people that had influence in the government. These are the people that were business leaders and things like this. When morning comes, they do it. It's in the power of their hands. They can influence how things go. Judgment is going to come upon them. He's speaking to them and speaking words specifically to them. Of verse 4, on the day that you will take up a taunt against and utter bitter lamentation and say, we're completely destroyed. He exchanged my portion, this portion of my people. How he removes it from me. If you're going to take everything from everybody else, God's going to take it all from you. He's going to give it to the apostate. To the Assyrians, he's going to give everything that you thought you were gathering and collecting for yourself because you did it by ways of wickedness, by false scales, by false balance. He's taken it all from you and given it to the apostate. We're seeing the way God does things here in judgment. Do not speak out, verse 6, so they speak out. If they do not speak out concerning these things, reproaches will not be turned away. If the prophet doesn't go and speak against the nation, speak to the people and tell them the ways of God and the things that they're doing wrong, how are they going to know? How are they going to turn back? Now, they did have the law of Moses. They were ignoring everything. They were ignoring all the words of God. In verse 9, it says, the women of my people, you evict each one from their pleasant house. From her children, you take my splendor forever. The inheritance is very, very important to God. And they were taking it away from them. You'll see this in Isaiah. You'll see this in Jeremiah. You'll see this in all the prophets. The things that the prophets were speaking that are similar everywhere, God sees it as important. So we need to embrace it as important. Let me continue on. And now he begins to become conciliatory. He shows them, you could have a bright future. If you repent from your ways. In verse 12, he says, I'll surely assemble you, Jacob. I'll surely gather the remnant of Israel and put them together like sheep. And he goes on with this tone. The very last words here in this chapter, it says, the Lord will be at their head. You know. And so chapter 3, he talks to the leaders, the rulers of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know justice? One of the reasons I asked Pastor Bill, do you mind if I, because I was almost done. But what happened to me was something popped up. We're going to get to it in chapter 7, which is the end of the book, that I remember Jesus spoke. And so I thought, well, like any teacher would do, let me go look that up. Where'd that come from? Right? Isn't that what we do? He's quoting right from here. But as I was reading the chapter, Luke 12, we're going to get there in a few minutes. I was reading the chapter. I was thinking this whole chapter is a commentary on this entire book. I was amazed. But it was in the way that Jesus does it, you see. And that's what I thought was fascinating. And then we'll finish it up. So he says to the rulers, is it not for you to know justice? We're going to see that in Luke. That's why I got off in that tangent. We're going to see it's for them to know right and wrong. It's for them to give that to the people, what's right and wrong. You know, we shouldn't be hearing from our pulpits today flowery things. You're not giving them direction. You're making them feel good. No, direction. My people perish for lack of a vision. We need to be hearing vision from the pulpit. We need to be hearing sound doctrine from the pulpit. These are the things that we want to hear. It says here in verse 5, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray. They have something to bite with their teeth. They cry peace. He's directing his comments to the prophets, to the leaders. I'm going to continue to move on. Verse 8, it says, on the other hand, he says to the prophets, you're going to be blind. You're not going to see a thing. You're going to wonder what's going on. You can't see anything. This is what our leaders are about today. Don't you see anything, Washington? Don't you see anything, what's going on? The repercussions of the decisions you make, can't you see where it's going to take us? They're blinded. But here he says, look at this. He's before the Spirit of the Lord. He says, on the other hand, I'm filled with power. You're filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord. With the Spirit of the Lord and with justice and courage to make known to Jacob his rebellious acts. Even to Israel his sin, I am filled with power. Michael wasn't somebody who couldn't see anything. That's another thing about a prophet. One thing you'll see is, I heard this. And another thing you'll see is, I saw this. They see things in visions. They hear things. They hear the voice of the Lord. That's consistent with the prophets. You know, very interesting. Look at verse 10. Who builds Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with violent injustice? We have to understand the foundations of our country aren't built with bloodshed. And they're not, there's been wars here. We've had a revolution. That's not what it's talking about. He's saying you're stripping things from the people. You know, this is the violence, the violent people, the violent leadership, the violent. They're just taking what they want, because it's in the power of their hand to do it. They can do it, you know, because they've been granted the power to do it. You know, but that's an injustice in the eyes of the Lord. If he gives you responsibility in government, in decision making, then it's for you to deliver justice. You know, not wickedness. Their leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe. Her priests instruct for a price and her prophets divine for money. They do it for themselves. You see, they don't do it for a higher call. You do it for a higher call. You serve the Lord. Oh, it makes me feel good. Well, go judge your heart then. You know, the Lord is guiding you and leading you that he might be glorified in all your good works. You saw, I witness because I have to. No, you witness because you want to. You know, you live for God because you want to. Oh, I have to come to church today. You should want to come to church today. You know, I have to sing these songs today. You should want to sing these songs today and rejoice in the Lord with us all. Yet they lean on the Lord saying, is not the Lord in our midst? Calamity will not come on us. Well, it will, because they're doing everything they're doing for the wrong reasons. In chapter 4, we looked at Isaiah 2, which Pastor Bill already preached this. It's almost identical. They'll all stream to that mountains of the house of the Lord. They'll all come and learn his ways. It's almost identical to that. Why? Because Micah is a plagiarist? No, he's hearing the Spirit of God. Did he know Isaiah? Pretty good chance he did. There's a pretty good chance that these guys have run together. And one thing I had shared a couple months ago about what happened to the school of the prophets. What's up with that? Do you think it just dissolved and disbanded and was no such thing anymore? Just because the word doesn't put a lot of emphasis on it. It did in the beginning talk about it. There is men that have a heart towards God and want to seek the Lord and they want to find their own kind. You know, I love to seek out other teachers. I love to talk to them and see what they, you know, what they've heard from the Lord and what they know of the Lord. That's always fun for me. You know, I know Pastor Bill has said this before, you know, but somebody will come here and is a guest and maybe they haven't been here a lot of times. He wants to sit down and talk to him. I remember when Brother Arthur was here, it was good to sit and chat with him just to draw from the Spirit of God and the understanding and knowledge and wisdom that he's had over the many years. I want to find about things that happened in ancient times, you know. And he was one of those guys that could just, there's not a lot of people that could tell you about those things, you know. So it talks about a conciliatory here in this chapter. It's also looking ahead at the end times. It's really focusing on some of that. And then it goes on in verse 10, writhe in labor, give birth, the daughter of Zion, like a woman of childbirth. For now you will go out of the city, dwell in the fields, and go to Babylon. He's revealing here, the prophet is revealing here, 100 years, or maybe even more than that, that this people was going to go to Babylon. Jeremiah is going to hook his train right up to that and explain it again 100 years later. See, it, not only did Jeremiah have the word of the Lord, but he also had Micah as the written word that the Spirit of God, God is long suffering. He's holding on. He doesn't want these people to be destroyed, but they were okay with that. I'm not okay to go into bondage. I'm not okay to return to slavery. You know, I know from reading the word, I'm not ready to go back to Egypt. There was nothing back there. Who else has the words of life? Moving forward is what my life wants to be. You know, I want to go forward, live for the glory of God, live, appear before him and say, oh, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, so got to judge myself every day. I've got to judge myself every day. So he goes on here, and this is really important in this chapter because he reveals things about Jesus. He says, now muster yourself in troops, verse 1, daughter of troops, they have laid siege against us. With a rod they will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little be among the clans of Judah, from you will go forth for me to be a ruler of Israel, and his goings forth are from long ago. He's way back here. This is going to take 600 years for this to happen, 500 years for this to happen, till Jesus comes. This is what we talked about last week, that they were going to get this. Where they got this from. At that time, he'll be great to the ends of the earth. First coming, second coming. First coming, second coming. It's mixed up there. I'm not saying God's mixed up. I'm saying that in that poetry, in that literature, it's both. So you have to lay hold of that. You have to understand that when you're reading these kinds of scriptures that mention Christ. So let's in verse 10, it says, it will be in that day, declares the Lord, I'll cut off your horses from you. And this whole area of scripture is what we talked about. He's going to take the things that you're trusting in and remove them. These people. But doesn't he do that to us? What are the things that we trust in? You know, what are the things that our hope is in? When we get to Luke, we're going to see some of this. The things we hold fast to, covetousness in our life, love for money in our life, selfishness in our life, he's going to cut it off. You know, when you ask Jesus in your life and you decide to follow after him, you know, that stuff starts to get removed. Your foul mouth, me, okay, it was difficult for me, you know, to realize. I guess that was my acting out, my rebellion with my dad, you know. I could talk the way I want to talk at school or whatever. Oh, cuss like a sailor. But God gave me a tongue of disciple, and I don't do that anymore. You know, grace is coming upon my lips now. I'd rather speak words that would help people rather than curse words. You know, he changed my vocabulary a little bit, by a lot, you know. And this is what happens. He'll cut these things off. The root, I'll root out your ashram, everything. He'll root in your life. He'll keep rooting in your life all your life. He'll keep, even if you don't want him to, he doesn't really care. He's going to just keep rooting and digging. You know, when my kids had splinter in their foot or somewhere, I needed a papoose or something to tie them up in because they did not want it out. But it had to come out, didn't it, hon? Those things had to come out. Stop your crying. This doesn't hurt much. I get a razor blade out or get a needle out or whatever I had to get out. I have to dig it out. You have to dig it out. If you don't, it's going to be much worse. You know, you'll let the doctor do it, which is going to cost me a couple $100, or you could just let me do it. I remember one time Stephanie had stitches in her chin she was riding her bicycle and skeet, bam. So off to the doctor. Dave took her to the emergency, you know, had the stitches, you know, in her chin, put it all back together again. But she's like, I don't want to go back to the doctor again. That's what she's saying. I don't want to go to the doctor. This will hurt. Oh, I can do it for you. Flipped her up on the kitchen table, turned some light on there, you know, got my, Deb had some pointy scissors, you know, that you use for needlepoint, you know, those little scissors that are real super sharp, you know, so I got a little pin in there and I lifted the stitch up a little bit and a pair of tweezers. Yeah, I got this. Didn't hurt a bit. She liked it, right? So she was cool with it. So anyway, God's indictment against the people, chapter 6. Now, hear now what the Lord is saying. See, he's still showing himself to be the judge. God is the judge. The Lord has a case against his people in verse 2. My people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Answer me. Well, in a few hundred years, Malachi is going to be aware of that scripture. And Malachi is going to say a very similar thing to the people. Because if you don't get on track with the Lord, you'll just keep repeating the same old stuff that your father and your grandfather did. Yes. You'll just keep doing the same old thing. It's going to happen. You can just guarantee it. Flesh will seek out its own ways. Not a good thing. So, in verse 6 it says, and I'm almost finished this, what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself to God on high? Shall I come to him with a burnt offering? How can I come before the Lord and just like chill this down? You know, make this okay. How can I do that? And he gives a list of things here which aren't really that important. But here it says in verse 8, he's told you, O man. Now this is it. He's not changing his mind. You can't negotiate this. It's not happening that way. What is good? I've told you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Oh, this is Old Testament. What does the Lord require of you? I don't want to hear that Old Testament stuff. It's the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Not the new words. Every word. And that word require, don't forget that. We're going to get to that in a minute. What does the Lord require of you? Because it's more than just this. This is just like the beginnings. This is just like a little slap in the face to get your attention. But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God, that's what the Lord has required of you. So that's where I stopped, on a high note. This is what the Lord's required. It says, the voice of the Lord will call to the city. It's sound wisdom to fear your name. Sounds to me like Micah might have been reading Proverbs. I see these things sometimes. They just like jump out at you. Hear, O tribe, who has this appointed time. Is there yet a man in the wicked house along with treasures of wickedness? He's showing them the things that they were doing. But that's not what I require of you. What I require of you is to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God. You have a short measure. Treasures of wickedness, you have a short measure that's cursed. Can I justify wicked scales? He can't. A bag of deceptive weights, you know, scales. You remember the old school scales? Put some weight on here. You put your thing on there. It balances out. But these weights are not the right weight. So you got cheated. Oops. But they were okay with that, cheating the people. For the rich men of the city are full of violence. This is how they were. The residents speak lies. Their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. This is how they treated one another. This is why judgment was coming. So also I will make you sick, strike you down, desolate you because of your sins. You will eat but not be satisfied. How is that? You just eat and not be satisfied. Well, he's talking about natural things. There are spiritual things, too, here to consider. Your vileness will be in your midst. You will try to remove it for safekeeping. here's your vileness in your midst. You love your vileness so much, you're going to like tuck it all away like a chicken with its eggs, and you're just going to tuck it away for safekeeping. God's not going to let that happen. You can't tuck your old ways away and bring them out when you want to. The Spirit of the Lord is watching over us, watching over your heart, you know, and he's going to remove it. But you will not preserve anything. You know what, really? Come on. You don't want the things of the world. You know, why preserve that? You know, like tomatoes. Pastor Bill was talking about that yesterday, preserving, canning things, you know, preserving things for later time. Okay, I'm going to hold on to lying, and maybe someday it'll come useful. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Just be a man of truth. You know, the old ways. You know, maybe you were strong. Maybe you're a fighter. You know, maybe you just didn't take nothing from nobody. Well, I'm just going to tuck that away, and then if someone really gets mouthy, I'll bust him in the face. He's going to remove it from you. He's going to fill you with love and compassion and understanding and a sweet word that calms the savage beast. You know, he's going to do that. And so you will sow, but you'll not reap. He's talking to these people. He's saying that this is your life. This is your future. But I got a better future for you if you just repent. This is what you know, he's saying. You'll tread the olive, but you'll not anoint yourself with oil. Prophets say this constantly. The grapes, but you'll not drink the wine. The statutes of Omri and all the works of the house of Ahab are observed. And they are, and in their device you walk. Therefore, I'll give you up for destruction, your inhabitants for derision. You will bear the reproach of my people. That actually is a historical statement there. When you look back to one of the earlier kings, he was wicked. And he had a son named Ahab. And he was wicked. And that was, if you remember, during Elisha's time. And he married Jezebel. And he made a bunch of statutes and a bunch of rules. You know? And they are following that precept instead of following the law of God. Instead of following with the priesthood. This is why they were being judged. So let's go to Luke 12. I made it there. Luke 12. Under these circumstances, after some, what I really want to get to, let me tell you this first. I'm really going to get to like verse 50. So I'm going to go through here pretty quick because I really want to get to around verse 50. So he says, under these circumstances, so many thousands of people gathered. Jesus was preaching. It's been for some time, and crowds were gathering and pushing in. They were stepping on one another. He began to say, now listen this closely. He began to say to his disciples, first of all. So he was really teaching his disciples. But the crowds were there, so he just raised his voice. Now, that it's not like that's an insignificant statement, because that will prove out as we go through here. It says, beware of leaven. Now, remember what Mike has been saying. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and which is hypocrisy. That's a statement. Beware of that. He's instructing them. This is an interesting, 2 and 3 is very interesting. But there's nothing, this could, like, how do you interpret this? How does this speak to you in the Holy Spirit? But there's nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. According, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you've whispered in your inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. To me, that's a statement of prayer. That's a statement, that's actually a positive statement. Beware of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And then he goes on to talk to them about their words and how they can move forward with their lives. He's instructing them. Speak it on the housetops. The truth that's going to be revealed as we go through here. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill a body. Did he change gears? Or is he saying, well, when you begin to speak out, they're going to want to kill you. Because that's happening all the time in the prophetic word. Happened to Jeremiah. I was hoping to get to that. Maybe you all read Jeremiah 26 this week. That would be a great place to end up. But they were going to kill Jeremiah because he was speaking the truth. But he was rescued out of their hand because someone stood up and said, well, what about Micah? What about Micah of Moresheth, who began to proclaim the word? Did they kill him? No, they didn't kill him. So they let him go. They said, okay, well, others stood up and protected him because the word of the Lord has gone forth. Everything came to pass in Micah that was said by the time Jeremiah was speaking the word of God. And so they rescued him because of the record, you know, the document of the prophetic word that had gone forth. They save him. To me, if you would ask me, this is not a doctrine, okay? This is an opinion. I'll tell you this. This is an opinion, okay? I think that they kept these documents with the school of the prophets, and I think that these were the things that they would, the known record of God, of thus says the Lord, to these nations, to these people. You know, and I'm simply not making a doctrine here at all. It just seems like this record has been kept, has been kept, has been kept. There was men of old that thought this stuff was important. It's nice when you think that the word of God is important. You let it affect your life. This record was kept, and it's completely an opinion. You know, I'm just speaking, the record was kept. But it's very difficult to address that, you see. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do to you. But I'll warn you whom to fear. Well, he's going to talk about fearing the judge. That's all the things that Micah was talking about. Fear the Lord, you see. And then he goes on to qualify it. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents and yet not one of them is forgotten before God? God remembers you. He's remembering you everywhere you go. Everything you speak, he's remembering you. He cares for you. He's expounding. Jesus is expounding on God's love for the people. He's revealing the true nature of the Father. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. You're more valuable than the sparrows. This is the nature of the Father. He's taking the things of God, and he's showing them to us. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess you also before the angels of God. And now he's, you know, going to go down through here, continue to, for the Holy Spirit, verse 12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in the very hour what you ought to say. Our reliance needs to be on the Holy Spirit. Back in Micah's day, their reliance should have been on the word of God guiding them and teaching them. The prophetic word guiding them and teaching them. Their reliance is supposed to be on that. There was one prophet, if there was a big army come against, and Pastor Bill, just jump in if you can remember this prophet's name. He was the army was coming in, and I remembered the story earlier. I was sharing it with Pastor Bill. And it was impossible. It was impossible to win this fight. But the prophet, was it Isaiah, stepped up and said, this fight is not for you. The Lord will fight this. You just go out there, and they took the musicians out there, and 2 Chronicles 20. Okay, that's where the story is. It says, trust in the word of the Lord. Trust in the prophets and you'll succeed. Trust in the word that comes from the Lord. The prophetic word. Trust in that and you'll succeed. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Verse 13, look at this. All of a sudden, someone shouts out from the crowd. Now, don't get lost here. God's revealing something to us. And it's connected to Micah. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide my family inheritance with me. Well, how's he respond to him? Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator for you? Well, isn't he the judge? Well, Jesus is trying to teach them something. He just goes on and he speaks exactly to this problem. Then he says, beware to be on your guard against every form of greed. And not even when one has abundance does his life consist of his possessions. He's starting to teach them something without making a judgment in this case. You know what? If your heart wasn't greedy, you probably wouldn't have a problem with your brother. If your heart wasn't covetous, if you understood that, he's teaching them these things. And he told them the parable. See, back in Micah's day, they were greedy. They were hungry for wealth. They were hungry to gather in and to store. This is what I'm seeing, the connection. And he said, told him a parable. The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no... He's telling a parable to connect all this train of thought together. Well, you know this parable. Any one of these things you can preach on and teach on as a separate sermon. I'm trying to look at it as a big overview of the lifestyle that these people were in this day. And it is this day that we're talking about, and Micah's day. So look at verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God says, you fool, this very night your soul is required from you. And now who will own everything that you prepared? So is a man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. In Micah's day, had they been rich towards God, things coming from Jerusalem, things coming from Samaria would not have led the people astray, but they would have led them to God. I'll be honest with you. I know this is a stretch. Things of our government should lead us more towards God. Things coming from our leadership in Washington should lead us. I think that's the right way. If we see every revival in every one of the revivals in historical 1 Kings, 1st chapter of Chronicles, even in Samuel, in David's day, when they would lead people to God, it would be the kingdom would just blow up with righteousness and hope and faith, and everything would rise. We're not going to shine a light on our government right now. That's not what I'm trying to do. So moving on, it says, store up treasures for himself and not rich towards God. For this reason, I say to you that your life... Sorry, I jumped ahead of myself. For this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what to eat, what to drink, your body as to what you to put on. For life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. Consider the raven of the field. So now he begins to explain that. What about the ravens in the field? What about the flowers of the grass? None of them were arrayed like Solomon. And you didn't have to worry about anything, you see. So he's saying, put your trust in God. Put your trust in God. Put your trust in God. When I have a challenge in my life, Randy, put your trust in God. Put your hope in God. I like songs that say that. Song will pop up. Put your trust. I will trust you. You know, I love the songs. You know, the song of the Lord begins to rise up on the inside of you. Your lifespan, it's a breath. We're just a breath here on the earth. So if you're going to take a breath, let's take it for the glory of God. You know, that's what we're going to do, considering the lives. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, verse 28, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? He deals with their faith. Do not seek eating, drinking, stop worrying. Verse 31, but seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Verse 34 says, for where your treasure is, and I apologize for skipping this because all this is solid stuff and all of it can be preached on. You know, I'm making a summary of this chapter because In a second here, we're going to get to Micah, a quote from Micah, which intrigued me. Where your treasure is, verse 34, there your heart is also. Be dressed in readiness. This is how we ought to be. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. And he's going to go through a whole parable again of that. Knocking at the door, being aware, you know, that the master is at hand, the judge is at hand. Whether he comes in the first watch or the second watch, you know, as you're breezing down through there. Verse 41, it says, Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us? Remember how I began this chapter? He's speaking to his disciples or everybody else as well. Well, the word of the Lord is for everybody. And I want to say that, you know, the Lord said, who then is the faith? He didn't even answer his question again. He just began to teach him. He said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward? So if you're the faithful and sensible steward, then this word's for you. Who'll put his master in charge of his servants to give them their ration in proper time. Blessed is the slave whom the master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he'll put you in charge of all things. Look at this, of all his possessions. But if the slave says in his heart, my master delays, which is the heart of the people back in the time of Micah, and he begins to beat his slaves. This is how they were treating people back then. Both men and women, and eating and drinking and get drunk. Oh, there's that word again. I'm sorry. Eating and drinking and getting drunk. You know, it says the master of that slave will come on that day that he does not expect. And in that hour, he does not know. And he will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. He's the judge. And we're to walk in his ways. And when you're not handling the things that God gives you right, you could fall into judgment. Because he's the judge. And that slave who knew his master's will. Well, if you don't know, he's just, you know. God's just, you know. And if you don't know, there's probably not going to be many lashes. But if you do know, you know, we see here what's going to happen. But the one who did not know and commits deeds worthy of flogging, for much is given, much is required. Again, another humongous principle in teaching in itself. I'm not meaning to make light of it. I'm not meaning to shortcut that part of it. That's not my point here. And listen to this. Verse 49. I have come to cast fire upon the earth. The loving, beloved Jesus who loves all and is going to be the Lamb of God who's going to deliver the world, you know, he's the door and the place where we enter in. I wish, it says, I'm going to cast fire upon the earth. How I wish it were already kindled, but I have a baptism to undergo. Well, you know, it's Calvary, okay? This is the baptism. And I'm distressed until it's accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on the earth? He said it. I didn't say it. Do you suppose that? I tell you no, but rather division. And there's a reason for this. For from now, this sometimes can like bring confusion to us relative to the scriptures. But there's something in Micah that will help us really understand this. From now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And he was also saying to the crowd, when you see the cloud rising in the west, he's going to talk about how do you judge things? You know, you see a cloud rising, you say it's going to be rain. I'm just paraphrasing a little bit here. Well, you know how to judge that, right? When the sun comes up in the mornings, oh, it's going to be a nice day. You figure that out. You don't have any problem with that. You understand that, right? You hypocrites, verse 56, You know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky. But why do you not analyze the present time? Why can't you analyze spiritual things? Earthly things, yeah, you're pretty good at. You nail it a lot of times. But spiritual things, nada. There's nothing there. You're not seeing things. Why don't you even on your own initiative judge what is right? For while you're going with your opponent to appear before the magistrate, before the judge, on your way there, you should make an effort to settle with him so that he may not drag you before the judge and judge before the officer and the officer throw you into prison. I say, you know what he says there. You're until you pay it all back,